Well, I don't know how many years it's been that I've known this man. I would say at least 13 years, if not more. Pastor Lowe had been coming here a few times, and then one time he all of a sudden shows up with this little guy that has a fireball. And he actually helped us out in our house. He finished our sidewalk at our house and did a bunch of our siding on our shed, I think it was, that you did. And since then, we've been just good friends, contacting each other once in a while through WhatsApp and everything, whether he's in South Africa or in Fort St. John or wherever, we've kept a contact. But I do want to say, because I always forget, that if you are wanting to give to Danny and Wendy, please put money in the box. Anything that's loose will be there, or you can just mark it on an envelope or in the e-transfer for Danny or and Wendy or something to that effect, and we'll make sure that they get the funds. But right now, would you please welcome Danny Carlson, good friend of mine.
Good morning, church. I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And just to tell you guys this morning, every individual one of you sitting in this chair and watching, you're so special to Jesus. He wants to tell you that it's not just, you're the light of Jesus in the darkness. So when you walk into a room and it's dark, if you switch the light on, there's light. So wherever you go to, wherever you step into, wherever you are, you take the presence of Jesus, Holy Spirit, with you. You can accomplish everything and anything because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. So never take yourself as, can I get it right? Is it going to work for me? Am I a failure? Do I see the light at the end of the tunnel? Yes, you do. The Jesus that dwells in you and the same Spirit that raised him from the death lives in you. You are so precious to him. Well, just to tell you how this journey started, I've got this wonderful wife. Her name is Wendy. You call her Wendy the Yield. I was quite a naughty young man. I got married into a pastor family. That they accepted me was a miracle. Right? So I'm part of that awesome family. Right, so this happened. Wendy was 4 years just not doing well. And, okay, so this is where it started. 2 years ago, September, I'm in Fort St. John. The Harp family tell me, Danny, you need to get home. Why? No, listen, I still need to put in some hours, you know. And they said, no, listen, you really need to get home. So I wasn't sure what was happening. Right, so everybody sort things out. A doctor friend of mine in Vancouver, Dr. Daniel, they organize plane tickets. The guys get their trucks there. Everybody gets everything ready. They load me. I'm in. I had no say in this. Airport, here we come. Edmonton, through the night, we rode, got me there, stayed over in a hotel. Next morning, on the plane, before I got on the plane, I gave Wendy a call. I said, hello, hi, Wins. Love you. How's it going? How's your lungs? How's that water thing happening, the lung thing happening? It came dead quiet on the phone. Then I thought, oh, goodness, something's wrong. And in that same day, she said, Danny, I've got cancer. I'm alone in Edmonton Airport. I'm thinking, what now? I'm shaking like I'm crying. I'm devastated. People thought, well, what's going on with this young man? Okay, not young, but you know. And, well, that's where it all started. So, and then from then on, I climbed onto the plane. And from there on, Wendy will be able to tell you what's happened. And God ordains things in your life to happen. He's got a plan for everything. There's a phrase in Zulu. Uncle Angus uses it. Very close friends of ours in the church, Uncle from Eddie's time. That's the Mighty Men's. He uses this phrase that says, Noma Kanjan. It's a Zulu word, Noma Kanjan. It means, come what may. I've never wanted to use that. You don't want to use the thing, come what may. Then it happens. It knocks on your door, says, hello, I'm here. Tragedy, things, circumstances change in your life. So the come what may came, and there was cancer. And I just want to say, yeah, she's alive and well today. This is my precious girl, my girlfriend, my everything. Yeah, this is my Wendy. And yeah, so Holy Spirit, may you just open up hearts this morning that everything will just be received in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Hear me? There we go. Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here and to meet all these people that I've heard so much about for so many years. All the years Danny's been coming here. Where we're staying in Fort St. John, the Hope family open up their home to a lot of people. So we always stay there. At the moment, they have a workaway. His name's Mohammed, and he's Muslim. But that hasn't stopped any of us. We've all seen the opportunity to share Jesus wherever we can without even realizing it. Danny will be chatting, Lo will be chatting, I will be chatting, the Harp family. And Virginia was sharing with him how God has this treasure hunt for us and how he plans things and how it's so exciting. And this morning I just realized how he's just given me a part of that treasure hunt. Excuse me if I get emotional. But something Pastor Corey said this morning just made me realize once again how much he cares about me. Let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to share. And Lord, I'm going to share my healing, my walk of you touching my body, Father God. But everybody here is on a different journey. So I pray, Lord, that whatever I share, that you will just touch every person here in the area in their lives that they need to be touched. Thank you, Jesus. So 2023, when Danny was here, a lot of people thought that's where my journey started. But it was actually in 2011 already, where they discovered a lump on my breast. Took me into surgery and it was breast cancer. So they put me on radiation and wanted me to go on all sorts of other treatments, which I refused at the time because one of the side effects was actually cancer. So that made no sense to me. I'm fighting cancer, put me on some medication and the side effect is cancer. So I refused it. The doctor was very upset with me because she'd studied many years to be an oncologist, and I wasn't taking her advice. And she said to me, you're the kind of person that will one day still die from this. Knowing the word in Proverbs 18, verse 21, the power of life and death in the tongue, I left her room and I immediately phoned my mom and I said, this woman spoke in death over me. And we prayed and we cut it off. And to me, that was the end of cancer. I just believed it was gone. Then in 2019, I started with a chronic cough, just constantly coughing. And this continued for 4 years, going from one doctor to another, my normal GP thinking it was maybe allergies, putting me on allergy medication, sending me for sputum tests to test my saliva, pulmonologist putting me on medication to suppress the receptors in my throat. None of this helped. Eventually, I realized I needed to trust God for my healing. My niece brought me 2 books by Joseph Prince, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, and also a 90-day devotional on communion. And I started taking communion, reading this devotion, and really pressing in and trusting God for my healing. Then in August 2023, while Danny was in Canada, I started with back pain, nausea, vomiting, still coughing, and my tummy just swelling up. They can put a slide on the board. Sorry, just back. You will see my stomach is all swollen. Sorry, there we go. Is it number one there? You will see I've got a big swollen stomach. I'm lying on a bed with a swollen stomach. Anyway, so my stomach swells up. I look like I'm a couple of months pregnant. And I can't keep any liquids down. So, sorry. There we go. Eventually, I go to the hospital and they do a blood test. They find that my liver is battling, my kidneys are battling, and I've got severe infection levels. So they admit me into the hospital and they start doing sonars and x-rays. And while I'm lying there waiting for the results of the sonar, the Lord says to me, whose report will you believe? What Pastor Corey was sharing this morning. And that's why I was so touched, because I just realized how intentional God is even now to just say to me, I'm going to let Pastor Corey share this, and it just comes in with your own story. So I was reminded of that song by Ron Canole. I don't know if any of you know it. Of whose report will you believe? His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm filled. His report says I'm free. And his report says victory. So you can put up that next slide, that one that you had on. You will see there my lung capacity. So I'd lost 50% of my lung capacity. My body was filling up with liquid. They said this was due to an organ battling. So they found in the CT scan, my liver was riddled with cancer. Lesions all over my liver. They found lesions into my ribs. And so this meant that the cancer was probably progressing into my bones. Even though I'd received this terrible news, I was reminded of a message that I'd received from somebody 3 months prior to this. So this is before I even find out about this cancer in my body. That slide, I don't know if you can find that slide, on the 7th of June, 2023. Pastor Bill, this is a pastor that used to be in our church, but had moved away. He'd had a dream, and in the dream we were walking and he saw me holding my stomach. So now you remember how my stomach is swollen? And he says, but there are 10,000 out there, and the dream ends. He sought the Lord for the meaning of the dream and felt the Lord revealing the message, saying, as I held my stomach, God was strengthening me from within. That's the next slide, yes. He was reminded of John 7:37, which says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He believed God was saying that he is strengthening me, my inner being, my spirit, and drawing me closer to him. Pastor Bull also referred to Psalm 21, saying that as I grow closer and deeper in experiencing the Lord, 1,000 may fall on my side and 10,000 in my right hand, but no harm would come to me. As I walk in God's presence, power and anointing, he's giving me a new level of authority and supernatural strength, and I will be able to accomplish even greater things for him, both in the natural and in the supernatural, in the days to come. So this message had come through to me before becoming really ill and even knowing what was to come. So another slide there shows where they now drain the liquid from my body. You will see they put a tube into my back, and that on the right hand side is the liquid that's draining off my lungs. While I'm in hospital an oncologist comes to see me. She tells me that it's obviously cancer on the liver. I told her I'd heard the liver is an organ that can heal itself. Is it possible to cut the cancer out and the liver to recuperate? She says, in my case, it's inoperable because the cancer is not isolated to one area. It's spread all over the liver. Even though I'm receiving all this bad news, I'm comforted because I'm getting messages from God through people, getting songs from people. And one of those songs was a song by Lauren Daigle, "You Will Be Okay." This really ministered to me. You're going to be okay. Lift your eyes to the hills and know where your help comes from. Another one by Charity Gale, "I Speak Jesus." His name's power. His name's healing. His name is life. You know, there's so much power in worship. If you're going through hard times in your life, just press into worship. So Danny's in Canada. I hadn't shared with him about the cancer. I didn't want him worrying while he was here. On his way back, though, at the airport, I shared it. And he ends up sitting on the plane next to a guy from South Africa who'd been to a seminar in America on how to heal your body through natural things, through what you eat and through herbs. And it was just amazing to us. Out of all the flights he could have been on, out of all the people he could have sat next to, God puts him next to this man. And this man tells him about a healing farm in South Africa where they detox you and they put you on a healthy way to healing. So because the oncologist had basically told me there's no hope for you, it was easy for Danny and I to make this decision. And we believed that it wasn't coincidence, because you cannot Google this place in South Africa. And so we got the contact details. You can put up, I don't know if it's slide 7, there you'll see some of the juices I'm drinking at the health farm. Green juices to detox me, ginger juice to just help suppress the nausea, other teas that they grow themselves for lung and liver to just help support my body. The next slide shows a charcoal bath. They put me in a charcoal bath as hot as I can handle. And this helps to draw toxins out of the body. Then into a sweat bed is the next one. So this is between plastic sheets with hot blankets over me to also help draw toxins. They also put me on walks to help digest what I was eating and putting into my body. They make me lie naked in a secluded area to get vitamin D with packs of zeolite, which is from volcanic rock, kind of like charcoal, which also helps to detox the body. There's another slide. Those are the juices I still continue to take. It's removing the fibers out of the food, just leaving all the goodness. So your body doesn't have to work so hard to process foods, and the body can concentrate more on healing. So it was important for me to make my body alkaline, which the juices helped for, cutting sugar out because sugar feeds cancer. Back home after being at this health farm, I have another visit with the oncologist. She tells me that all they can do for me is supportive care. You will see a report. There's a slide there, circled there. It says my life expectancy is 9 to 12 months, and the best they can do for me is supportive care. After leaving her consulting rooms, I get in the car. I send a voice note to my family. I said, this is what the oncologist has said, but clearly she doesn't know my God. We're going to continue to trust God and believe he's going to bring me through this. Unfortunately, things didn't get better for a very long time after that. I end up in high care. You'll see a slide where I come out of theatre. Because my lungs kept building up with fluid, because my organs are battling, they said, we're going to have to put a permanent drain in for you into the lungs. The next slide shows where they put this drain in, yeah, going through my ribs. And the next slide shows two bottles. The one on the right-hand side is a thicker tube with a drain in the back again to quickly draw the fluid off. The other one has a suction bottle. And I left the hospital with that suction bottle. And as it filled up, I would replace it. So while they went in to put those drains in, they found that the cancer had spread also to the lungs, the pleural cavity around the lungs as well. So the news just kept getting worse for me every time I went back to hospital. A month later, 14th of November, I'm back in hospital. This tube that I've got in this drainage bottle became blocked. So they said, unfortunately, they've got to take me back into theatre to put a new tube in. I was lying there and I said, Lord, I can't handle another time in theatre. It's been too much already. Won't you do a miracle? I need a miracle right now. As I was praying, I hear this sound like when you're drinking a milkshake, that last bit that you suck out with a straw. And I look down into my bottle. There's a picture of it. You see that white tissue in there? That was what was blocking the tube. And as I prayed, God released that. It just sucked out into the bottle. So it wasn't necessary for me to go into theatre again. On the 8th of December, I developed a terrible infection in the pipe. So back in hospital, another run into theatre. Danny quickly went home to sort out a couple of things. I was waiting for him to come back and pray for me before going into theatre. But they changed my theatre time. So I was feeling quite sorry for myself lying there, having a little pity party. And the anaesthetist comes over to me and I explain to him what I'm going in for. I said, but you know what? God's going to heal me. I still believe God's going to heal me from this cancer. And he says, can I pray with you? And he takes my hand and he says, Father God, you see this woman's heart, how she's trusting you for a miracle. And I'm trusting with her today that you will heal her from this cancer. And once again, I was just so touched by how when Danny couldn't be there to pray with me, he sends me a Christian anaesthetist to pray with me. After that, things went a little better for about 2 months, but I started developing pain in my back and terrible bladder and kidney infection, which they couldn't get under control with antibiotics. So in February, I'm back in hospital. They do some scans. And they find a mass 12 centimeters in diameter on my left ovary. They take me in to theatre, believing they can cut this mass out. But when they go in, they realize it's cancerous. It's grown onto my bladder, to my tubes from my bladder to my kidney, grown onto my pelvis and into my intestines. So the gynecologist said she's too scared to cut it away because of the being attached to my pelvis. There's so many blood vessels and she was worried I would start bleeding out. The photo there shows how they cut me from the top here, my belly button, around it all the way down and then just sewed me back up and sent me home. I was barely home when I went to the toilet just to urinate. When I wiped, I realized that there was poo. So my tummy hadn't worked, and I realized the poo was coming out of my vagina. So they call this a fistula. So because of the cancer grown into my intestines, it now caused a leakage into my vagina. So my feces, instead of running the normal course through your intestines out of your anus, was now just coming out of my vagina. I was feeling so despondent, lying back in hospital again. Now they've got to put a stoma in for me so that the feces can now go into a stoma bag. I'm crying out to God, and He gives me this devotion. You will see my goodness. You can put that up, yes. The opposition that has come against you is due to the glory I'm about to reveal for you and through you. The enemy wants to distract you, make you believe that I will not fulfill my promise. You have stood your ground, but weariness is knocking at your door. Beloved, don't give up. Though the enemy has attempted to sift your faith and steal from you, I'm coming to avenge you. I'm coming to overturn the plans of the enemy that have been put into motion against you. I will, in this, you will see my goodness. In that moment, I truly felt God speaking to me and reassuring me that even despite what I was going through, He was still in control, and His goodness would prevail in my life. So after this surgery, another oncologist comes to see me to try and convince me to try some treatments. So I'd believed that God had put me on this path to do things naturally, but now I start doubting it because things are just getting worse. So I wonder, should I change my direction here? So Danny and I chat, and I said to him, let's pray about it tonight. You go home, pray about it. I'll pray about it. And let's come together in the morning and hear what God's saying to us. So I'm praying that night, and I said, Lord, I really feel that You've put me on this journey to do things naturally. I believe You're going to heal me through this. But now I'm not so sure. I need a clear answer from You. Please show me clearly what You want me to do. So at about 12 o'clock that night, in my hospital bed, a nurse comes in to see me. She says, I'm so sorry to worry you so late at night. I've done all my rounds in the whole ward to check on everybody, make sure everyone's got their medication, and I've left you for last because I wanted to chat to you. As a nurse, I'm not allowed to give anybody advice, but I just want to tell you, if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't do chemo. And I just said, thank you, Lord. That was the answer I was waiting for. So I go home, and Danny and I decide, even though things aren't looking good, I've lost 66 pounds. I don't know if that's around 30 kilograms. I'm skin and bone. But we believe we're just going to continue. On the 10th of May, I decide to visit a ear, nose and throat specialist because my voice just got so bad. He sent me for another CT scan of my vocal cords and everything, and came back and said it is what he suspected. Because of all the cancer activity in the left lung, it's pulled everything, my heart and everything, my esophagus, to the left. And in that movement, it's caused my left vocal cord to become paralyzed. So your vocal cords do this when you talk. Now the left is paralyzed, it doesn't move, so the right has to work harder to project my voice. And that is what you're hearing here. I asked him if they could do surgery. He said they can operate to bring the left vocal cord closer so the right doesn't have to work as hard. But because I have so little time to live, I should just enjoy the time I have left with my family. I said to him, I'm not going to die. I'm trusting God to heal me. He said, but maybe God's going to decide to take you to heaven and you need to accept that. And I said, no, I'm not accepting it. I'm still going to come back and show you that God has healed me. A friend of ours in Fort St. John sent me 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you by name is trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his work in you. So I continue reading these devotion books by Joseph Prince. One of the teachings he gives is about some people receiving miracles and others increments of healing. So I hadn't received a miracle, but I was trusting God for those increments of healing. And it didn't come quickly, but eventually I started seeing little changes. I started picking up weight, eating well, being able to exercise more. And that bottle that was draining liquid, I'd been walking with it for a year, suddenly dries up. I contact the specialist that had put that tube in. You can put up a photo there of the drain. You see where it's still attached to me with a bottle. The next slide shows where he's removed it. He said two reasons why it's not working. Possibly it's blocked or the liquid has dried up. So after removing that tube, they found no blockage. So he sends me for an x-ray and he gets the x-ray back. He says, I don't see liquid in your lungs anymore, but I'm waiting for the report from the radiologist. I'll phone you tomorrow when the report comes through. He phones me the next day and he says, what I'm seeing is remarkable. He kept talking and about five times he said, remarkable. I knew it was a miracle because there was no liquid. They had expected me to walk with that bottle until the day I died, but there was no more liquid. On the same day, I receive a message from a friend in Cape Town in South Africa, an old school friend. And she says that she saw my body and things starting to unravel in my body. She was reminded of a film by, the film's called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And the main character's born old and ages in reverse. She saw me in a similar way, with a sickness in my body being restored. And then there was another pastor 3 days later that sent me a message. He told me he'd had another vision of me and he saw an hourglass and the sand in the hourglass running out. And when it was nearly empty on top, miraculously the sand started going back up. And he said that he saw me in the same way with God restoring me supernaturally. So these are two different messages from two people at different ends in South Africa, one in Durban, one in Cape Town, with totally different messages, but meaning basically the same thing. Every sickness in my body being unraveled. The 4th of November, I saw another specialist. That mass that the other specialist wouldn't touch, she said she was confident she could remove it. So I went into theatre, came out of theatre. You will see a photo of me there. Cut me. She said she cut into my bladder, put her hand in so she could feel where the mass had grown on. She removed it. She cut the tubes from my bladder to my kidney, removed the section it had grown on, reattached the tubes. She cut it away from my pelvis. She cut out 15 centimeters of my intestine where it had grown into, reattached that. There I've still got the stoma bag on the one side. The other side is a pencil drain, which they left in for a few days to test my urine. With all the fluid coming off to make sure there was no urine leaking from the pipes. Once they were confident that that wasn't leaking, They removed the pencil drain. I went home with a stoma, which I walked with for another 3 months. I then went to see the specialist who had done the stoma operation originally. He sent me for a CT scan. When the scans came back, I sat in his office with him. And he said, "Tell me your story again." And I shared everything with him from the beginning, everything I'd been through, how the cancer had progressed. And he said, "It's incredible to me that you've trusted God through this journey, because what I'm seeing is a miracle." He says, "Your CT scan is showing that your intestines are so healthy, we can reverse the stoma. But that's not all. The scan says there's no metastatic disease." So metastatic disease is when cancer is in one part of your body and spreads to other parts of your body. So with me, it had started with breast cancer into the liver, lungs, pleural cavity, everywhere. And there was no cancer in my body. The liver, which they thought would kill me, it said that I had a normal liver. No lesions on my liver. So the 28th of January, I went in for my last operation. That was January this year, to reverse the stoma operation. While I was chatting to the anaesthetist before, I said to him, "God has healed me from cancer." He says, "I know all about it, because the specialist has already prepped the theatre staff, the nurses and everyone. And he's told them, I want you to know that today you're getting to work on a living miracle." And it was so awesome to me that they were acknowledging God in this. You can put up another slide. I've got a poop emoji there. My niece brought it for me. I wasn't allowed to leave hospital until my tummy had worked to make sure I was able to pass a stool naturally. When it happened, I was so chuffed at often not being able to do that for a year. It's quite amazing. So I took a photo of it, sent it to the family. My sister said, "I've never been so happy to see poo in my life." And the nurses in the ward, everybody was coming to chat to me. The news just spread through the hospital. I'd been there 15 times in a course of 2 years. So I knew a lot of the nursing and doctors there. And so it was so amazing to just share my testimony and what God had done for me. I'm still believing for my vocal cord to be healed. I'm trusting that God will do that for me. And I was chatting to people that were staying with him, Fort St. John. They've got a 13-year-old daughter. She said, "What did your voice sound like before? Because I've only heard your voice now." And I said, "Should I play a voice note for you of what it used to sound like?" And she said, "No, don't worry. I will hear your voice." And then God said to me, when she said it and walked out like it was nothing, and I burst out crying, and God said to me, "You see, that's a childlike faith." And so no matter what you're going through in your journey, it might not be health problems, it might be family issues or things with your work. God's no respecter of persons. He wants to do for you a miracle in your life like he's done in mine. So you just trust him, have that childlike faith, keep your eyes on him. Sometimes the journey gets worse before it gets better, but you just keep your eyes on him. And we're here to chat to any of you, to pray with any of you if you'd like us to, if you want us to stand with you and believe with you for something in your life. Then we'd love to do that. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy, for that tremendous testimony. Wow. Yeah, we're going to open up if you're wanting to come for prayer, to come up front. We're going to go offline right away. Not quite yet, but right away. And then you're free to come up front to avail themselves to you. And we want to pray with you as well. But if you have to go, please be blessed, and we'll see you the next time that we gather together. So, Father, we thank you so much for your promises and the fulfillment of them. And we pray, God, that if anybody is here that is in need of a touch from you, regardless of what it is, we just pray, God, that you will just work in their lives now. Lord, whether it be an instantaneous miracle or whether it be a healing that comes in increments, we do pray that you will have complete control. And Lord, may we be able to say, just like Danny and Wendy were able to, come what may, we will still praise the Lord. And so, Father, blessings upon all of our people. Amen and amen. Please, if you do want prayer, we are here for you.